Okay, good morning, everyone. We're going to convene the Groundfish Committee meeting. For those of you who don't know me, and I think I know most everyone in the audience, I'm Terry Stockwell, the Groundfish Chair, and I'd like to begin by thanking Laura for orchestrating the venue. Good to be in New Bedford. And I'd like to also welcome Peter Kendall as a new member to the Groundfish Committee. As usual, we have an overfull agenda as we work our way towards the final vote on Framework 48 in November. Following today, we'll have at least two more committee meetings between now and the council meeting, and one of them we'll have I'm hoping we can have a combined AP committee meeting as we put our final touches onto the framework. So are there any changes to the agenda? Seeing none, we're going to start right off by our discussion on the modifications to the year-round closed areas. You all remember a motion that was passed at our last meeting. After receipt of some counsel from general counsel, it was noted that we're going to need an amendment in the EIS in order to consider the habitat component of that. So Tom's got a presentation, and we'll take it from there. So
just to bring everybody up to speed, I'll go through a little bit of an overview of what transpired at our August Groundfish Committee meeting, what has happened since then, and some suggestions going forward from the Groundfish Plan Development Team. Sort of from the Groundfish Plan Development Team, they're really coming from a much broader audience, including the regional office and council staffs. I'm going to refer throughout the course of the day to the Groundfish PDT report that's in your package. It's document number 3. So off and on, I'll be referring to things that are either in that document or that are attached as enclosures to that document. So going back to the last August committee meeting, shortly before the August committee meeting, some information came out that indicated that the annual catch limits were likely to be low in fishing year 2013 for many stocks. And by low, I mean significant declines from what recent catches have been. So the committee was interested in trying to the extent possible to mitigate the impacts of these ACLs. And the committee passed a motion to allow access to most of the groundfish year-round closed areas. I'm not going to go into too many of the details of the motion. They're in the meeting summary that's in the package. But generally, access to closed area 1 and closed area 2 was through most of the area, not quite all of closed area 2, was seasonal access, and it was limited to specific gears that were identified that were considered selective. For the lightship closed area, the Western Gulf of Maine closed area, and Cash's Ledge, the motion proposed to allow year-round access to all groundfish fishing gears. The motion was intended to try and increase access to some of the stocks where we're not catching the entire ACLs, such as pollock, redfish, and George's Bank haddock. So just to get everybody an idea of what this motion might have looked like, there are some areas that are crosshatched out on closed area 1 and closed area 2. These are areas that would have been open seasonally. You can see that all of the lightship closed area would have been open. Pretty much most of Cash's Ledge. There was one section in Western Gulf of Maine closed area that I believe, according to the committee motion, might have remained closed. And there was a small spot in Cash's Ledge out near Almond Rock that was identified as remaining closed. But generally speaking, the access, the motion would have allowed access to most of the closed areas for most of the year. After the PDT meeting, the council and regional office staffs got together and we held a couple meetings. Eventually that got elevated to some members of the council executive committee, the regional administrator, the NOAA attorneys. And there's some problems with a committee motion as presented. Because of the scope of the motion and because of the fact that it proposed allowing mobile gear access to some of the habitat closed areas, it's the belief of the staffs that this motion would require an amendment and an EIS in order to be implemented. We don't think it's remotely possible to complete an amendment and an EIS and in time to have much effect on the fishing year 2013, which was the whole purpose of the motion, to try and mitigate the low ACLs. In the PDT report, there's a timeline which shows that, you know, very optimistically, this type of action might be completed long about January of 2014. But I want to caution that that timeline doesn't include any slop in it at all for any delays or difficulties that might be encountered. So with that in mind, we came up and tried to search for an alternative, and we think we have come up with an alternative. In a nutshell, we would modify the FMP to allow sectors to request exemptions from the year-round closed areas. Present sectors are not permitted to request an exemption from the year-round closed areas. So we would make that change in Framework 48, and then the sectors would incorporate into their sector ops plans the access that they would want. Now, in order to avoid the problems of needing an EIS as opposed to an environmental assessment, which is what we usually use in the sector operations plans, the idea is that we would limit the access to those part of the closed areas that are not habitat areas. And this is a concept, and if you look in the back of the PDT report, there's an enclosure where the PDT tried to put a little bit of flesh on this so we had something to talk about, and I think the committee will want to get into this in a little bit of detail. But looking at the chart, the crosshatch areas are the areas that would be open. If you look at closed area 2, the crosshatch stops at 4150 north. This is the language that was in the committee motion. That's why the PDT drew that line there. We're basically matching the committee motion. In the lightship closed area 1, and the Western Gulf of Maine closed areas, it's basically the parts of the mortality closures that are not habitat areas that are open. So you can see in the Western Gulf of Maine, it's just that eastern strip. In Cache's Ledge, groundfish PDT is suggesting a slight modification to this idea of not of opening all the areas that are not current habitat areas. If you look carefully, you'll see, I might be able to highlight it, I suspect you can see it. You see this little colored spot there. That didn't work. Try it again. See this little colored spot here. This is a quadrilateral, I guess, out on a Fippenese Ledge. And the reason we suggest not opening this to mobile gear is that this is presently under consideration as potentially a habitat management area. So what we've suggested in our text is not to allow the sectors into this area until the decision gets made through the habitat omnibus process about whether this actually is going to be some sort of management area with some sort of mobile gear restrictions. So rather than preempt that decision, our suggestion is to keep this excluded until then. We have some other points that I can go through that we suggested. There's really a couple questions here facing the committee. The one is whether the committee wants to pursue this alternative approach rather than continue forward with an amendment in an EIS to implement the motion that was passed by the Groundfish Committee. So the first question I think the committee has to resolve is whether they want to go forward with that. And then, assuming the committee decides they want to go forward with this framework approach, then I think we may want to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the details to make sure that we know how to craft the alternative and how we want it to be considered.
Thanks, Tom. Questions? Dave, then Laura.
Okay, I was going to present a motion. Would you rather wait?
I'd like to see if there's any questions first. Laura?
My question, Tom, is that you said that the reason why we couldn't do the motion as it was presented was because it altered habitat areas. So now we're redrawing the areas to only include mortality and not habitat areas. So couldn't we just rewrite the motion to only include the mortality closures and not have to force the sectors to all, you know, go through the rigmarole of petitioning?
Well, Tom's typing. I mean, the PDT has made one proposal, and that's certainly another alternative to hardwire it into the framework 48. Yeah, Laura?
Then I'd be interested in hearing from those that fish if these areas are would be consequential in terms of our goal of accessing the redfish and the pollock and haddock. You know, would this be a meaningful opening?
Tom?
Can I answer?
Yep, yeah, Tom, then we have Dave and Dave.
So one of the reasons...
Why do three sit together?
It's Dave and his other brother, Dave. One of the reasons we suggested putting it in the sector ops plans is that if this gets written into the Framework 48, all the analysis has to be completed by the November Council meeting, which is a difficult hurdle to accomplish. If we allow it to be put in the sector ops plans, then it gives potentially the sectors a little more time and NIMS, quite honestly, because NIMS prepares most of the EA for the sectors, to complete the EA. So it could work. I mean, our feeling was that the timing might work better if we split these two things. If we put into the framework the allowance to allow sectors to request access, then the analysis in the framework is fairly narrow. And then the rest of the analysis will be based on each sector what they actually request. So we thought that it might actually work out faster and keep Framework 48 on track with the timing if we split them up. That was sort of the rationale.
You follow up, Laura?
When I know I'm over my limit already. Just a question for NIMS then. I think sector plans have already been submitted, so are you open to them amending their sector plans if we were to put this in the framework?
Yes, actually several sectors have submitted requests for area openings, some that are, you know, the whole kit and caboodle that we passed at the last groundfish committee, the habitat and groundfish closure areas, as well as something that's more downsized, comparable to what the PDT is recommending. So, you know, and also, you know, we're looking to the council to see if they want to recommend, you know, how the agency should go forward with this. But all of that will be considered in the sector ops plan in terms of what the agency finally decides to do.
Dave?
Yeah, I like the idea. I thank the plan development team for being creative, working with the regional office to give us something that looks doable, better alternative than having to go the other route, which is through an amendment that just takes too much time. My question is, recognizing that the plan development team doesn't deal with lobster, to what extent were you able to deal with the issue of gear conflicts that might arise with that access, increased access in those areas, and also impact on whatever lobster resource may be in those areas? I know it's been an issue raised by members of the lobster industry in the past, and I think it'll be raised again and again and again. So were you able to deal with that? And if not, can we assume that the service would have to deal with this issue through operations, plans, requests, changes, plan requests to get that access?
Well, I'm going to give you a lengthy answer. The analysis for framework, whatever analysis that is included in Framework 48, will be done by our closed area technical team. They have held one conference call and one meeting. They're building off some of the work that the PDT started last fall, where the PDT identified some issues that needed to be addressed as we look into opening closed areas. One of those issues is, of course, gear conflicts. The closed area technical team is aware of the issue with respect to lobsters, particularly out in closed area 2, because we've received a lot of correspondence about it, but potentially also in the western Gulf of Maine closed area as well. I don't believe they've actually analyzed any of that stuff yet. I think it's up to the council to provide direction on whether they want to consider those issues when we design these access programs and perhaps provide advice to the service about how to consider or how to respond to sector ops plans with those issues. The EAs that will be prepared will have to take into account the possibility of gear conflicts, and we'll have to analyze the impacts on the lobster fishery. And eventually the omnibus habitat amendment, assuming it opens those areas, would have to do the same thing.
Sue, you have a follow-up?
Yes, if I may. In addition to that, there could be protected resource issues with shifts in effort into some of these mortality closure areas, although we looked at the PDT straw man option, and we think that we're okay with that the way it is in terms of the gear that's going to be allowed into these areas. But that isn't a concern until we analyze it further, that if, you know, the overall impact to protected resources from that shift in effort into the areas and what happens, you know, for example, if all the lobstermen go out of those areas into open areas, that could have an impact on protected resources too. And the hope, of course, is that we can still move forward with an EA, but I need to raise those issues now.
Dave.
Yeah, I support the idea, but I did have a couple questions for Tom, I guess, representing the PDT. One is, there's part of the caches area there, the green box extends outside the existing closure. Would that be closed now as part of this? That's number one.
I have to double check my chart here. That's supposed to be the caches ledge habitat closure, and I got to check the boundaries because I think we may have a layer that's not quite right.
Okay. My second question is
the answer is if it is a habitat area, it would still remain closed to habitat. To mobile gear.
Okay. And my second question is enclosed area two. There's the white triangle at the top and the white area on the kind of the middle right. Why are they not included?
So with closed area two, first off, for all of these areas, what we did is we tried to base them as much as possible on the committee motion. And the committee motion that was passed in August said to open up closed area 2 south of 4150 north. So that's how we drew it.
Okay. So it's not based on any other consideration of...
No. The funky green spot is the habitat area of particular concern. But the white area, we just didn't open that up because it wasn't in the committee motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I definitely I see the value and support considering how to move this through the sector operations plan, particularly because of the issues that Tom provided in terms of workload and the necessity that we have, the obligation we have to get the framework that's in front of us done on time because there are other provisions that need to be on the water. I guess I wanted to follow up on Laura's question to the agency and the response that we got, and maybe I wasn't clear on it. I think if we were to pursue the sector operations plan approach for expanded access to these areas, we would need to signal that to the industry and then provide all sectors the opportunity to make new exemption requests in time for the start of the fishing year, or perhaps, if need be, at some point in the fishing year. Were you suggesting that only those requests already in would be reviewed if we pursued this?
You know, honestly, we've been struggling with how we're going to approach this, but I typically, if something new happens, we go back out to the industry to give them another opportunity to provide additional input. We have a short window of time to get those requests and analyze it, get it all in place for May 1, 2013. I actually think that we've got a full range of requests. We got a pretty big wide range of requests now that, between that and what the council requests and what the agency ends up doing, probably encompasses pretty much everything. But, yeah, we'll certainly be talking to the managers about it, how we proceed. I don't know the details of yet.
Follow up, Tom.
Thanks, and thanks for that. I think that's absolutely essential. One of the things that I have a concern about is in the PDT's sort of suggested text for pursuing this through the sector operations plan, they've encapsulated the language from the committee meeting, which discussed which gears would be approved. And if we are going to pursue this approach through the sector operations plan mechanism, then I think we should use the approach that we've and the principles that management system is based on, which is if you can demonstrate through your operations plan how you're going to account for your catch, how you're going to operate in those areas without undermining stated management objectives, that there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do that with any of the gears that are approved for fishing in New England. That's a bar that needs to be addressed, and each sector in their operations plan has to identify how they're going to do that. But I don't see the need, if we're going to take a sector operations approach, to for the third bullet here in the PDT proposed text, which specifically outlines gear. I would think that would be part of any exemption.
Let's hold this discussion until we get the rest of the questions answered. And we have a motion, because I think if we move forward this way, then you're suggesting, an amendment that will streamline it. Question, Dave?
Yeah, you ready to proceed?
No, I want to make sure all questions are okay. Anybody in the audience have any questions for Tom? Okay. You're on, Dave.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are really two parts to this, and the PDT makes a compelling case on pages 1 and 2 with regard to the original committee motion. So I would think that the first step would be to take care of that issue. So with that in mind, I would make a motion. I'd move to recommend that the council not proceed further with the committee motion of August 2, 2012, as analyzed on pages 1 and 2 of the PDT report dated September 14, 2012.
Is there a second? Seconded by Dave Gaethel. Let's Tom get it up on the board. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah.
Now, is this going to be one of two motions? Okay. No, that answers my question. Committee discussion. Audience comments. Ron. Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, my question is, seeing how we haven't recommended this to the council yet, at this meeting, if we take this, the council never has to see this motion from the August 2nd meeting because the council hasn't even considered it to begin with yet.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, we have proceeded with a PDT analysis of the original motion. And that's a well-known fact within both the industry and the council. I understand your point, Frank, and I don't disagree with you. But by doing it this way, we make it perfectly clear that we're taking the whole issue right off the table. That was my intent.
We might be able to clean it up by substituting PDT for council.
That's okay. Makes
sense. First line, Tom. Everybody happy with that? Other committee comments? You're on, Ron.
Ron Small, it's Fishery Survival Fund. Are we primarily discussing the groundfish boundary lines?
Correct.
Are they in the EFH amendment? In other words, there is a motion in the that was made by the council regarding the EF that's placed groundfish boundary lines consideration in the EFH amendment.
This motion is specific to a committee motion that was mitigation as part of a mitigation effort.
Right. So I'm just trying to figure out where the issue of the groundfish boundary lines now exists. It's obviously taken out of this framework by this action. Is that correct?
No, not necessarily. This particular motion is specific to the discontinuing further analysis of the committee's motion from our previous meeting. I suspect there's going to be a subsequent motion that will address it in a different direction.
Okay, so I'll just wait until that.
Okay. Other audience comments? Back the committee. Okay, those who support the motion, please indicate so. That would be unanimous. Tom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In terms of outlining the direction that we do want to go, I think there's a broad sense that we want to consider and move forward with expanded access. And I think realistically we have only a few options for how to do that in a timely way. I think the most timely mechanism that we have is through the sector operations plan, and that will both allow us to achieve this objective of expanded access as well as continuing our work on Framework 48 that needs to be in place. So with all that said, I'd like to bring a motion to develop an alternative in the framework allowing sectors to request exemptions from the prohibition on fishing in year-round groundfish closed areas consistent with the following limitations. And I would take those limitations from the PDT memo, page 10, with the exception of the third bullet point. If I get a second, I'd like to just speak to that.
Seconded by David Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, give Tom just a minute to catch up with you.
Long motions.
Good thing. Jeez.
Check your motion, Tom.